Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks.
Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me a beautiful soul brother, Brendan Kumasari.
Close enough. It's okay.
Life's
a gift, right? It's all good. Honestly, Sophia, if I was bothered every time, it's like your last name, so I think you can relate.
Yeah.
Is if people were bothered, I mean, we'd have miserable lives. Like, what's the point?
Right.
Life's about being happy.
I love that. And now that I butchered your name, so among other things, you are the founder of Master Talk, and you help people with communication. You're a communication coach and a YouTuber, and I can already tell you're just a beautiful soul. So thank you so much for joining me, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show.
The pleasure is absolutely mine, Sophia. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. And I want to ask you a little bit about your journey, like, because I remember you when you reached out, and I'm like, you know, this is a spiritual podcast. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm all on that. So I wanted to ask you about your journey and what called you to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, for sure, Sophia. And feel free to follow up on any of the points I mentioned. Yeah, you know, everything I've done so far up in my life, you talked about before this podcast started, how you felt in some key moments of your life, things were misaligned, you realigned that. That happened to me as well, but relatively early in my life. So funny enough, I have a degree in accounting, which is literally nothing to do with what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in accounting. I've wanted to be in accounting since I was 12, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the reason, very simply, is because I was really good at math and I was really bad at everything else. So that's the quick story on that. So I get to college, Sophia, and once again, the goal is just to be an accountant. I learned about these things called the big four accounting firms, like these big companies. And somebody told me I need to get a job at these places. So I started asking students, like, how'd you get a job at one of these companies? And one of them, Sophia, said, you got to do case competitions. I'm like sitting here like most of us listening to this podcast and thinking, what's a case competition?
Right.
I learned that. Which is basically communication. It's communication sports. So think of rugby, but for nerds. That's like the way you want to see it. So I start presenting competitively. And long story short, I accidentally develop a talent in coaching other people and how to communicate. And I just start making free videos in my mom's basement. One thing led to another. And here we are.
That's so awesome. Did you ever use a accounting degree?
I mean, technically I do. It's actually very it's useful in the sense that now that I'm running my own business, I can double check what my CPAs are doing and actually understand what they're talking about. So it's been very useful in that way. But when it comes to coaching people and YouTube, nah, it hasn't served anything for sure.
Well, I love that you fell into this because it's clear that you have a gift. And how have you seen that unfold for you?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question, Sophia. You know, my coach talks about this idea of soul purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a purpose that your soul is constantly yearning for, right? And there's a disconnect between what your soul is deeply yearning for and the external actions that you take as a human being. Though obviously in my early 20s, I couldn't have explained it this well. So hopefully it makes sense now. And I think what happens in our life is sometimes in different ways, shapes, or forms, I really fundamentally believe in the idea that the universe gives you different signs and nudges you in a certain direction, mm-hmm. but only a few people hear the dog whistle. Only a few people are willing to hear it. It's either they hear it and they choose to ignore it, or they go, you know what, I'm actually paying attention to this vibration, I'm moving into it. And I think that's what's happened with me in my life, where genuinely, communication coaching was never meant to be a profession. I never knew it was a thing. It was more just, I like coaching. So even if you met me as a friend and we were just sitting around at a park, all of our conversation would still be about me coaching. It'd be like, so like what, like I would just ask you a deep question, like, what are you worried about right now? And I'd just give you advice. So it's just naturally something my soul always wanted me to do. And I just caught on really quickly that I should align both of the two really fast.
That's really, really beautiful. Cause I as a little girl, I connected with animals on such a deep level. I thought they were my friends. I didn't separate from them. And then because both of my parents were teachers, I went the academic route. And that didn't, I mean, I love studying people in different time periods with different technologies. That's cool because it gets to see how we've progressed and how culture is created. That's fun. But when I felt the deeper soul calling, I was like, well, of course. Like, I always wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't want to cut anyone open. And so I'm like, well, I could get a PhD because I didn't know body talk was something that existed because it was based in Australia. And in the 70s and 80s, there wasn't internet. So I choose this at 10. And to be able to actually feel that so-called, like I too communicate. I've had many, many signs to do a podcast before podcasts existed, ignored him. And then to be able to help animals on such a deep soul level, it's like, oh, this is why I came here.
That's really powerful. There's a lot of cool threads you pulled on there, Sophia. One is you made a great example of yourself, which is, hey, this is how I followed. But the other piece that you tackled on is a mistake a lot of us make in the journey to getting there. That is normal for us as human beings. René Girard, who's a French philosopher, calls this mimetic theory. So mimetic theory is basically this idea that we as human beings have some level of desire, but it's always overwritten by what other people desire. So when you see, like, for example, why do we all want to get married, have 2.5 kids, live in a white picket fence, not live in a white, like around a white picket fence, right, in a house? Well, it's because that's what media tells us to want. That's what the world tells us to want. And you did that in a, and I've done that too, in smaller ways where you kind of saw your parents become teachers and it's like, oh, well, I guess that's the right thing to do. And it's the same thing with me. It's like, oh, well, county coach. I mean, a communication coach. That doesn't sound like a profession. That sounds like a joke, right? So let me become an accountant and do the serious things that serious people should do as adults. And then you get to the lair and you keep doing. And then the other piece too is there's ways of hacking that if people are willing to be open to it. Right. Like, I'll give you one easy one that my coach taught me that I love, which is called 101 desires. So what you do, it's a very difficult exercise. You have to write 101 things that you actually want in life. So the first 20 are super easy. You're like, oh, I want a car, I want this. But then you get to number 50, you're like, I don't know what else to want. And it becomes really challenging.
I love that because, like, when we really tune in, like, what do, like, I know the first one is I want to help animals. Boom. That's easy. That's my sole desire, greatest purpose. But, like, when I get to like 40 or 50, it's like, pretty much after I get to 50, because I'm like scanning through them as I'm talking to you. When I get to 50, it's like, I want to serve. Like, I want to serve my highest purpose, whatever that is. And I can't know what that desire is other than that's the desire. And, I have and already know I do embody Christ consciousness. I'm just remembering that I do because we all do. And so to like, put the objects of desire. That's the typical way we think, like, oh, I want a house, I want a Bernese Mountain Dog, I want this and that and the other thing. But really what I want is the fullest expression of my soul, whatever that is.
Very well said, Sophia. And then the build on your point is you're right. Life doesn't give you all the cards up front, right? It gives you like one, and then the second one's really dusty. But if you wait a few years, you know, you can clean off the, you just don't have the cloth next to you. And then 3 years, like you kind of find it in a dumpster somewhere and you start cleaning that cloth. And that's why it's so important. Like even for me, or even for us, frankly, is like a lot of people might listen to this podcast and think, oh, Sophia and Brendan finally have the answer. Like, no, not really, right? So it's kind of like we might know our next few moves, whether that's in terms of monetary gains or health or relationships or some spiritual trip that we want to go on. But after those few moves, it's still a blank canvas and you're still trying to figure it out. And then those wins lead to other clues and then you just keep going. And the way that I see it in the context of my life, because I like to think I'm a bit, even if I have intuitive gifting and communication, it's like at the end of the day, everything I've done led to that. Because if I never wanted to become an accountant in the first place, I never would have went to business school. If I never went to business school, I never would have done case competitions. And if I never did case competitions, the chances of me becoming that communication coach at that age would have been much harder, and I wouldn't have been able to find my sole purpose anyways.
No, I completely agree with that. When I was my first year of grad school, I worked I didn't work for them yet, but I was guided to take this class in creating a documentary. So I kind of wanted to do that. And so it was audio based. And so I fall into this organization that sadly is closed now. It's called the Maine Folklife Center. And what they do is they have interviews from all the way back from the 1940s of different people living in Maine with different questions. And so I just determined, like, what was it like to live during the Great Depression in Maine? That was my documentary. And I dove into the archives and I got to hear stories. And I found out, and I kind of knew it, but I didn't, that I'm an active listener. And so through that, I was able to make a really good documentary because I was able to like listen and find the cadence and find the best parts. And then I ended up working there for 4 years. I got paid to listen to stories. It was like the coolest job ever.
That is pretty cool.
And then I fell into the Maine State Museum and I volunteered there. But then I did collaborations with the Maine Public Broadcasting Network to co-create television series using my connections to help bring audio and video to the storytelling. And then I learned collaboration, I learned storytelling, I learned that I actually like media production. And like that thread has just weaved through. I do voiceovers. I'm writing an animation series. Like I have all these different things, threads coming from that period, knowing full well that that all influenced me in different ways. And so even though I'm not using the PhD, everything I learned while getting it has informed me.
Absolutely. The person you became in that journey then informed everything else you did in your life. Absolutely right. Totally.
Yeah, it's just such a fascinating journey, and like what's the word that's coming through? How we become aware and allow that authenticity to come through is what we're here for.
Absolutely. That authenticity really does lead to what we're here for. And there's a great quote that I got from Dan Sullivan, who's he's like the founder of Strategic Coach, and I really love what he said because it's so true. He says that your eyes could only see and your ears could only hear that of which you are looking for. So I think the problem in our society, because a lot of our brain and our wiring and our biology is really wrapped around this idea of survival, not fulfilling our soul's purpose. It's survival. And it's really difficult. That's why I have empathy for a lot of human beings, is it's hard to break through that barrier and going to the next layer. So when I was younger, it starts in this idea of survival, which is, oh my God, my parents are factory workers. They worked really hard to come to this country. I live in Canada. And I was like, okay, I need to work really hard. I don't care if I didn't, like, to be frank, I don't care if I'm happy or not. It really more matters, am I surviving? But then when we pass that stage of survival and you start making some money, you go, oh, you know what? That was my journey for everyone's different. And then I go, like, huh, you know what? Like, surviving isn't that bad. It's bad, but it's not so bad. And then your mind has more space to kind of take in that next whiff of insight to take our game to the next level and to get closer to what that soul purpose is. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, and in our culture, there's an I'm just tuning in to like how does it want to come through? There's a lot of energies that encourage us to distract ourselves. And the phone, I mean, I remember actually not having a digital phone growing up, so it was crazy. I actually went outside all the time and my mom would kick me outside, go find something to do. And seeing how that shifted, like in a not that long of a time period. It hasn't been like one generation really where we've had the portable smartphones. The numbing out from the intuition has really it's a, I'm coming through a couple of different thoughts here. So like Our ancestors, like your parents, my parents, did jobs. Did it bring them happiness? Maybe. But it wasn't a sole purpose. It was actually my mom did. She had a sole purpose. She's a musician, so she really got to fulfill her sole purpose. But like she had other programs that she had to deal with. I have my own soul journey, and I don't have the things that my parents had to go through or your parents had to go through, where they had to choose a job that was the numbing out. I have devices that now numb me out. So it's a different level of, and I think the phones are a little more insidious because this communication, right? You get an email. Oh my gosh, I got an email, or I got a text, or this is exciting. It's like getting that dopamine thing. And so it's a little harder to tune that out and tune into yourself. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are of that are.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of great points there, Sophia. And so glad that your mom found her sole purpose. I think
Yeah,
that's
me too. Me
awesome. That's
too.
really cool. And then that's one point. The other piece is around the point you mentioned around communication and getting those text messages and emails. So of course, as we know historically, communication has always been relevant in storytelling as well, but it's never been seen at the frequency that we're seeing today. Whereas before, it was maybe TV commercials that we would watch, or maybe we'd get on phone calls with people with like a landline. You wouldn't like carry cell phones all the time. Whereas today, those messages are being barraged on us 24/7. So there's definitely an argument. I'll argue the both sides. So there's definitely an argument that can be made that a lot of these messages are distracting us from our sole purpose. But there's another argument I'll play too, which is I don't think there's that much of a big difference in between generations just because of technology. Because if there was, then 50 years ago, everyone would have found their sole purpose too, right? So then what is the gap here? Because you could also argue today it's actually a lot easier because of it, the internet, of the breadth of information. So now the point I'm driving now is, what is the core problem here? Is the core problem the emails? Is the core problem the generational gap and differences? I think the core problem, Sophia, and it's always been the same problem. And that problem is, we've been wired as Homo sapiens for millions and millions of years. I don't know, don't quote me on the exact number. Yuval Harari, the guy who wrote Sapiens, probably has the right number for us. But for that, the wiring, the reason we evolved as human beings to be the person we are today is because our ancestors, ancestors, ancestors for hundreds of lineages, if not thousands, have won. And because we won on a specific set of criteria, which was evolutionary, which is survive, survive, and it's survival of the fittest. And that's where the result of what our ancestors have done. So it's natural that finding your sole purpose and finding your intuition is in complete lockstep, like literally opposite of what it actually takes to survive. So yeah, it is the same skill set that is required, which is a willingness to break against that biology. And it's a very difficult thing to do.
And I think the difference is, like, in terms of like previous generations, is the survival, they didn't have the other stimulations. Like, we do have an abundance of time, more than we had in a lot of ways, because we can play with our phones, right? They didn't have that so much, but they had the that survival gene of, okay, I'm working, like, I'll give an example, the Civilian Conservation Corps in the 1930s during the Depression. Boys between 18 and 30 would work 5.5 days a week. They'd have one day off, and they send most of the money to their parents to survive. And yeah, they got in great shape, and we have a lot of amazing parks and improvements on parks because of them. But I don't think that was their passion. I think they were too tired at the end of the day, working 10-hour days. They don't care about their sole purpose. So the shift in, we're not working as much, like, we're not working 10, 12-hour days of physical hard labor, but we have other the distractions are different. They're still distractions, but they're different. And the dopamine fix, That's what I'm feeling. The dopamine fix of having a phone is more easy to pay attention. It's like it's hard not to have your phone on 24/7, right? I mean, like I intentionally don't, but and when I go for a walk, I don't even bring my phone with me. I turn it off often during the day because I don't need it. And I think that it's like a choice, but it's a choice with dopamine to numb yourself out as opposed to eating and surviving. So it's a slightly different frequency to it, and it's just really interesting to tune into it because we do have more opportunity than we did 50 years ago.
Absolutely, Sophia. And you said something so great there, which, and I want to highlight that for people listening, is that you made a conscious decision, which is a very difficult thing to do if you really think about it, is that conscious decision of going, wait a second, like this phone is actually preventing me from whether it's channeling the right spiritual channels to see what you're figuring, what you want to do next, whether whatever the point is, whether it's aligning yourself to a greater purpose, whether it's finding your soul purpose, is that conscious decision, that is where the friction lies. Because my, and this is my worry, is that as human beings, is if it's not this, it's that. So they'll always fill up and create the same level of urgency, regardless of how urgent the distraction actually is. So, if it was the example you gave us, great. Okay, we're working 10 hours a day. That becomes the distract, a more valid one for sure. Whereas today, those distractions are more, but they're exacerbated in our mind to the same level as that 50 euro thing. And I'll show you an example here that to many was a bad thing, but I think to some is a gift, though we don't say that on a podcast, is the pandemic, right? The pandemic was the ultimate stopper. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you live in Canada, whether you live in India or some other part of the world or the US, it forced all of us to stop. Like we, even and then the government started writing us stimmy checks and all that stuff. And even in that scenario, Sophia, people still chose to be distracted. People still chose and made that decision. So then the next piece becomes, it goes back to this idea that, like, Alain de Botton talks a lot about this, and I'm going to butcher his quote. It goes back to this whole idea of surviving. You got me on spiritual mode today, so there you go. So the and Alain says, like, loneliness is a tax you have to pay for an atonement of a complexity of mind. So it's a very, very hardcore quote. But the reason I like it so much is there's some truth to it. I don't think it's fully true, but I think there's some truth to it where it's like the more complex your brain becomes, and I mean in the sense of asking yourself deeper questions, finding your soul purpose, doing that, you tend to become an anomaly, like an abnormal creature around the people around you. And in that journey, that's where people stop because they go, oh, this person doesn't fit in. And then those people stop that spiritual journey because they go, well, my number one goal is to survive, right? So I need to make sure Brennan and Sophia like me. And I think that's a big problem for sure.
You know, it's really interesting because I've had this very strange journey in my life of being moving. I counted it somewhere around 15 to 20 times in the past 4 years. So I've shaken myself up and I've released attachment from a lot of things. And so one of the attachments I had was that people-pleasing component, because that's a huge one. And I was gifted adrenal fatigue. And adrenal fatigue comes from people pleasing. So I had to source myself and I had to go within more deeply to love myself more. And what I saw was like, as I was raising my frequency, because I'm taking care of myself and diving more deep into my spirituality, I see friends drop down from different frequencies. And at first I was hurt. But then I realized it's just frequency. And you know, I love that we're having this conversation, Brendan, because it's just fun to like dive into that, because like a lot of people get that fear. And I actually had this awareness the other day. I was talking to a friend and I said, you know, I love you. So clearly I'm triggering you. I'm sorry I'm triggering you, but you know what? That's your trigger. It's not mine. So you have an opportunity to sit with that trigger if you choose to, if you want to still communicate with me, because I'm not playing in that lower field, I can't, because I've already had that awareness. And that's another point, is as we gain our awarenesses and like learn more about ourselves and how we behave and how we show up in the world, you can't keep playing the way you used to play. And that hurts the people pleaser a lot, but it's really good for your soul.
That was a really good quote, Sophia. You can't play the way you used to play. I totally agree with that. And that's why it's so important for us to stop the noise. You don't have to stop it forever. You don't have to be, in tune with the spiritual power the whole time, your entire life. I don't do it, frankly.
Right.
But there's a big but, and that but is you have to make time for it, right? I don't care if it's once a month, once a week, a few hours a day. Pick your frequency. I'll give you a funny side story. This happened to me recently. So last week I was in Houston. Never been to Texas in my life. I went because a lot of my clients are Indian of Indian descent. So we were hosting like an Indian IT event. So completely
Oh,
irrelevant to your
cool.
podcast,
Okay.
but yeah, super random. But yeah, so there's one direct flight from Montreal to Houston every day. So obviously that's the one I book. And then I get there and 30 minutes before the flight, I get canceled on and I'm like, crap. So I got rerouted. I end up getting there for midnight. So why am I telling this story? I'm telling you this story because I made a conscious decision, like you did with your phone, where I was like, you know what? I don't have any meetings today. Instead of getting there at 2 p.m., I'm gonna get there at midnight. So instead of being a little annoyed and being in an angry space, like going back to the whole triggers, right? Let me just take a step back. Fast today and make today a thinking day.
Oh,
So
I
I
love
spent
that.
it exactly. So I spent all day writing my vivid vision. It's this term by Cameron Harold. It's amazing. Like you project your life 3 years out. And I hadn't done that in years. And I spent 18 hours just doing that. And that's where I found my time. And that's what I encourage people to do as well in their life.
That's beautiful. That was totally relevant because we can do that in any moment. We can choose. And it's the conscious effort. Like I have this a little practice, I'll call it, in the morning, where I have an Aramaic translation of the Lord's Prayer. Completely different than the one that's taught in English. It's got a higher frequency because Aramaic has a high, very high frequency, and it's translated into English from Aramaic. And that 2 minute prayer that I just recite every morning sets the tone for then I tune into my spirit team and I ask what my soul, the collective soul of me, wants to tell me. And I get stuff that I wouldn't tell myself, but I allow myself to hear it because it gives me a better perspective of where I am and if I need any growth in any spots, if I need to bring awareness to something. Today it was, don't eat as much cheese as you did yesterday because I had way too much cheese. And it's little stuff like that, or it's like, hey, I want to bring this into you so you can see something that's like a bigger picture thing than small Sophia can see. And it's only like 10, 15 minutes a day for those two practices. And then I go about my day trying to remember the awarenesses that I'm bringing through. And my day is so much more easeful because I have the awarenesses and I know that I'm connected. Even though I'm not actively connecting in a moment to moment basis, I know that I'm supported.
Absolutely. And there's two parts to that that I think is great, is we'll all connect to spirituality in different ways. And I think you brought that point up really beautifully. Whereas in your case, it really is that 2 minute prayer and those little daily actions or activities or moments throughout the day that helps you stay connected to what you believe in and what that energy is. And in my case, I'm like a hard charging type A workaholic, work 12, but I love that. Like, that's my thing, right? That's who I am. So what I'll do is like, I'm not connected to any spiritual power during the day, but the time that I am, I'll go really deep and I'll really reflect on it. And really the lesson here is, because it's funny, because we're completely opposites, but we still found what we were looking for in that journey is whether it's more towards me or more towards Sophia as the audience, you just need to find the right version for you. And the second part to that, which Vamsi tells me all the time, he says that it's this idea that in many ways, if you do your soul's purpose, you get closer, the work that you do is spirituality, right? Like, for example, the work that we're doing now, I believe is spirituality because we are creating a conversation that is then going to be heard by X number of people, and that's going to vibrate their energy in a very specific way because they listen to us specifically today. And I think that's really powerful as well. And I think all of us have that capability, whether you're a barista at Starbucks and you're just affecting the people you're speaking to on a daily basis, or whether you're on a stage in front of a million people, I think the energy is the same.
I agree. It's just having the awareness, like knowing that I know for a fact anytime I go to a local grocery store, I can see, like I'm making the conscious effort to put out a Toronto field of unconditional love. But then I see how that works with everyone. And it's not my ego saying, it's just like, this is so cool because now I don't have to be as like the bleeding heart, compassionate person that's going to listen to some stranger talk to me for 2 hours. I don't have to do that because I'm already sending the love out and I don't have to have that entanglement.
Oh yeah, very well articulated. I totally agree. And another side note on this, I met this guy named Albert once on the way to Houston, and I've never seen this. I was like transferring terminals, and he gets on the bus. He's the bus driver, and he starts giving a speech. He said, "Look, everybody, terminal A, and say A with me." Everyone says yay, and then B, it's like hey, and if you say C or D or E, you're on the wrong bus. And then he just starts making a joke, and I was just sitting at it. I was just in awe of this man. And the reason I was in awe of this man, Sophia, I was like, wow, this is a guy who's driving buses all day in the hot weather of Houston, Texas, and he is still deciding to choose, right? That his work has meaning and that his energy vibrates off other people. And it clearly did, because I shook his hand, I left that bus, obviously, I took the flight back home, and I never will forget about Albert for the rest of my life. And I think there's a lot of power in that. And I think the lesson is you don't need to be a podcaster, you don't need to be a YouTuber, you don't need to be somebody who loves X or Y. You just got to be you, but be a more intentional version of you. You don't have to be perfect, but I think it's just those little moments that I think make a massive difference.
And having that awareness come in more and more, like, oh, and it's like how I show up, how I feel my triggers, how I choose my food, how I bless my water, how I like it's just little details. And am I perfect about anything? No. That's why it's a practice. But to try to bring them into my awareness every day is really like I don't have time to gossip. When you actually focus on yourself that much, not like from an egoic place, but like what does self-love look like? How do I take care of myself so I can be the best version of me? You don't have time for anything else.
See, I'm not as good of you on in that way. So I love to gossip, but I think the key is what are you balancing that energy with? So if you're gossiping all the time, okay, now we got a problem. If you're gossiping in a negative way, then we have a problem. 'Cause I also think there's positive gossip. But I think the point is like what is the frequency of how that energy is being categorized? And if it's all gossip, we got a problem. Like, well, I'm spending all day. I like my gossip, maybe 1 or 2 hours a week. But if I'm gossiping all the time, then Brendan has to work on something serious. But if you're gossiping 1 or 2 a week, it's okay. Like, it's all good. As long as your body, that's the way I see it.
Love that. No, I get it because like I'll sh if I have a somebody I care about and I know somebody else that also cares about that person, I'll share what's going on if they're curious. But that's not like, ooh, did you hear the blah blah blah? It's more like, hey, can you lend some energy to support this person because like they're in a space where they need it. So yeah, I get that. It's a different intent. And that's another thing too, is like how you intend. Yeah,
Yeah.
so how do you see that showing up in your life?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, Sophia. That what you said there is such a key word, the idea of intent, right? So obviously I was kind of joking a little bit with the gossip, but the intention. But I would never gossip somebody in a negative way. You know, like for example, the idea of like writing a negative book review. You know, somebody told me this once, is like, would Michael Jordan ever write a book review? Like a negative one. No, like what? It doesn't make any sense. Like it sounds silly when you think about it. So yes, I strongly believe in the idea of intent. Like I'm a big believer of karma. Like what is the energy that you're putting out into the world, especially when the universe is throwing negative energy your way sometimes through people or opportunities. I really believe that that's the universe testing you to see how you react in those situations. I had that last week. Tough conversations with clients, tough conversations with people, but it's how you come out. Even at the beginning of this conversation, right? The name thing, which isn't a big deal at all, right? But imagine if I reacted to that in a really, whoa, like, wait a second, Brendan. If you're putting out that energy into the world instead of making people feel comfortable to be around you, then why are you a communication coach? Because the goal of communication is to make people feel comfortable. So it's those little moments in our life, Sophia, that test. I'll actually tell you another funny thing that happened today. Because this is not my usual, I'm actually at my cousin's house. Believe it or not, Sophia, it is April in Montreal and it is still snowing. And my power went out 2 hours ago. So I have meetings till 9 today. And my power just went out. And I was really mad for like 5 minutes. And I said, let's get out of that space. My cousin lives 5 minutes away from my house. I'm super
Perfect.
grateful. He got me in and I could take all of my calls, and life is a gift. So that's it. Universe tests you.
That's so beautiful because, like, we can show up. We again, it's the choice of sh how do we want to show up? Because I had a situation where I have a Healy device and I had to re-upload the program to run on my phone this morning, and there was one little thing that I needed to do that I couldn't remember, and so I write, their tech support. The tech support's like, not a problem, go away. And I was like, I could feel like the frustration. And I was, like on and off frustrated for a couple minutes. And then I went online and somehow Reddit told me what to do. And I'm like, I don't usually use Reddit, but it was like a super simple, like, turn off your Wi-Fi and everything will work. And then you can turn your Wi-Fi back on. I was like, that is so simple. Like, he could have just told me that, but now I know. And now I can share with the tech support that that's what they tell everyone instead of like getting mad and like writing a bad review, which I could do, but like, what's that gonna serve, right?
Absolutely, Sophia. It's all goes back to intent. And if we pick the right intention behind what we do, I'm not going to say it's immediate, but I really do believe over time the universe rewards you. Because I think a lot of us who do this work correctly, we downplay a lot of the success that comes from it. Like I'll give you an example. Like I was thinking about this the other day. I should be more successful. Why don't I have more money and more fame, more impact, more, clients or something like that? Sure. But then when I think about it longer and deeper, I go, wait a second. The success that I have right now, that I've had up until now, because a lot of us aren't really good at celebrating our past, is the result of all of the when you could have made a bad decision, when you could have made a bad karmic decision, you decide to make a good one. And you don't feel the result of that right away, but it's those little things that get compounded over time that makes the 278th person you give a good karmic action to go, I need to make sure I do justice by this. And they close the loop. And then the cycle continues, right? So you could look at it through ways. Dan Sullivan calls this the gap versus the gain. So you can either look at it through, oh my God, my life sucks, everything's going wrong, or you can look at it from the gain to say, wait a second, the reason I can even have food to eat and do something I'm passionate about and just have a good time with Sophia on this podcast is because of the good karmic decisions I have made up until this part at this point. And I think a lot of us don't acknowledge those points because that's what motivates us to do more of those decisions. And once again, I'm not asking people to cure world hunger or any of that stuff. It's really about saying, like, when the universe tests you, how are you responding to the test? And if you keep passing, I think eventually the universe has to say, you know what, Sophia, you know what, Brendan, we'll just give it to you. I think you win.
Oh yeah, I had that journey with triggers. I had a friend in a weed a couple of years ago. He would just beautiful soul, love him dearly, different frequency, but he would like press the trigger. And I was doing somatic work at the time, so I would be like I'm just crying. I'm feeling the trigger fully because I want to make sure I'm not holding it anymore. But then I thank him while I was crying. I'm like, okay, you can't possibly know that I had this. There's no way. Doesn't know me that. It hasn't known me long enough. I mean, yeah, it was an old karmic connection for many, many, many lifetimes. But like in this lifetime, he didn't know me. But he was really good at finding all my triggers. And so I have reluctantly become a master at dealing with my triggers. I don't have triggers anymore,
Wow.
which is amazing because, like, if I feel it, it's like, oh, I'm just going to feel this right now. I don't react, I respond. But it's taken like 4 years to a pretty much daily practice of me feeling the triggers to be able to come to this place where it's like, no, I don't have to, I'm not getting triggered anymore. I've seen people getting massive triggers and I'm able to like coach them through it, but like not happening with me anymore, which I am so grateful for.
I mean, wow, that deserves a congratulations, Sophia. I don't think I'm at that place yet in my life, but definitely I have improved a lot. Like I remember one of the triggers I had, and it's a generational one, is that everyone in my family has a temper. Every man in my family has a temper. My dad had a temper, my dad's dad had a temper. So luckily I caught it very early, right? Where now when I get angry, I feel the anger, but I don't release it. Right, externally onto other people for no reason, by the way. Sometimes you just get angry for absolutely no reason, and I think it's that trigger, right, that creates the result that we're looking for, and that we can mitigate later for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because like if we repress it, it's gonna come back up. And that's part of the karma too. It's like if we don't deal with that thing that's right in front of us, that's the karma. It's going to come back. And I've had witness to that. I've had in addition to people pleasing, I've had codependency and I've had narcissists. It's been a really beautiful journey. I've
Right. Yeah, you've had quite the journey for sure.
had quite a journey. And because I didn't learn it the first time. It's like, oh, you
Right.
missed this part. You missed this part. Okay, here's another nuance. You still, okay, you got this one? Okay, now you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Very well
So,
said, Sophia.
yeah. Because I mean, it's not like a punishment or anything. It's just like we're trying to remember our divinity. And we have all these programs that we came in with, all these agreements we wrote, like, okay, I'm going to clear all these things for me and my ancestors. Okay, this is going to be the big, I am not having kids this lifetime because I'm not bringing this forward. This is, I am it. Like, I'm going to clear everything. And I must have had a big list. And so, knowing that I'm okay with the journey of remembering and finding all the nuanced things that my family needed to clear that I signed up for to clear for them. And I'm okay with it. It's just, I'd also like a break.
Don't we all? Don't we all, Sophia? But yeah, I can see a lot. I just worded a little differently, but we're saying the same thing from different perspectives. Is this idea of breaking the generational curse, right? Where there's things like there's a lot of alcohol in my family, generationally speaking. There's a lot of like yelling, all that stuff. It's like, how do you break that cycle and being conscious of that breaking so that you set a new standard for the people after you in your own lineage and beyond? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's so and it's like we've been gifted so many different tools in this lifetime that our ancestors didn't have. That, it's not required of us, but if you feel it, it is a great part of your soul's mission to step into that deeper remembrance of who you are, because we're all divine. We just forgot it.
I'm totally with you on that, Sophia. And I love the wording that you used, right? It's not the idea that it is required, but is more of an invitation, right? An invitation that is given to you to then make those decisions. But if you do feel that inclination, that push to get there, then absolutely that's something that you want to do to get the results. And that's something I'm trying to do. So let's see how that works out. But it's going well so far.
Well, you
So
know, the
that
thing
is.
is that you have the intent to do it. And that's a beautiful gift. I mean, you see the patterns, which is huge because a lot of people haven't had that awareness yet. And then to catch it, like a couple weeks ago, there was a situation in the house that caused a little stress for me. And my go-to is emotional eating. And so I watched myself. Fortunately, I don't have anything bad for me. I know myself well enough to know that I shouldn't have anything that's not healthy for me in the house, but I was still doing the emotional eating and I caught myself doing it. I'm like, oh, I'm emotional eating right now. Okay, well, and then I stopped eating because I called myself out on it. And it wasn't like I was judging myself. I was just like bringing awareness to it. And I was just so amused by the fact that I saw myself doing it and went, I don't really need to do this anymore because now I see it. But like this, the little girl in me was like, oh, she saw it. Dang it. So I let her have a little more, but like I just didn't eat the same amount that I was going to because I had the, I didn't catch it per se, but you know, I saw it.
Oh yeah, I'm a big believer in percentages. So I don't like binary things where it's like we're either emotionally eating or we're not. I'm not a fan of that because I think that's such a defeating way of approaching it. And that's why I love your example. It's more like, hey, you know, I have one ice cream scoop now or three, but it used to be the whole tub. It's like we're progressing, right? And that's true in anything I found is like even in my workout routines, it's always harder to take the first step. So like everything that we're having a conversation about, this idea of soul purpose, this idea of finding the person, I think the main blinding thread I want people to leave this conversation with from my vantage point, Sophia, is like the hardest part of this entire journey, even if it sounds complicated with all these points and everything we focus on, is really this idea of just taking the first step. And the first step is just about saying, hey, like we talked about earlier in this conversation, hey, let me just sit down with myself in front of a tree in a park and take an hour. It doesn't even 30 minutes to just write down what is 101 things that I desire in my life and just start that conversation. And just that snowballs into something else. And then the insights start coming. And then it becomes then you become obsessed with it like we are, and that's easy to get to actually, as long as you start the conversation, which is the hardest part.
I love the way you summed that up. Well, I'm beginning to be aware of the time and the fact that we both have other obligations. So I'm going to ask you one final question, and that is, how do people find you?
Absolutely. So first of all, this is such an amazing show. Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, super fun. Mind Jedi-ing today and going through some different principles together. Yeah, easy way to keep in touch. Just add me on Instagram. So my handle on Instagram is Master Your Talk, and your is spelt YOUR. And you can just send me a DM and let me know that you listen to this podcast, and I'll send you a nice spiritual voice note.
Awesome. I want to thank you so very, very much for your time and the work you do in the world and your beingness because I just so love your light and I just appreciate you.
Likewise, Sophia. Thanks for setting an example. Appreciate it.
You're so very welcome.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.